Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Come right in. Lie down on the couch. The doctor will see you now. This is the true definition of sports psychology. This hour of The Jeff Blair Show begins now. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Oh, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. So shame on me now. Blew me to places I've never been. Now I'm lying on the cold, hard ground.
All right, we got to talk about this Curse of Taylor Swift thing. All right. I'm not talking about the Curse of Civilization or music and all that stuff. I'm talking about the impact Taylor Swift has had on three baseball teams already. Taylor Swift, by the way, is at the Rogers Center for a couple of concerts tonight and tomorrow. These are the facts before we get to Mike Wilner. July 27th, the Houston Astros changed her scheduled concert date from October 13th to September 9th. In case the team had a home playoff game. They were 55-45 at that time and held the first wild card spot. By the night of a rescheduled show at Minute Maid Park, they led the West by two games over the Rangers. Things are looking pretty good, right? They've gone 8-11 since her concert. They are out of the playoffs as of today. Think about that. In July, she played at Nationals Park. 2 days after her concert, the lights went out, play was suspended. The Nationals were leading the NL East at that time. You know what's happened to them since. Their manager's going to be fired. Oh, by the way, Taylor Swift played at Petco Park in San Diego on August 29th. Well, the Padres have gone 11-18. All right, that's enough about Taylor Swift. We're going to talk about curses. Do you have curses? Have you experienced a curse, and what have you done to break it? We'll also talk about John Gibbons and why you people out there don't trust the man. The AL East title's not enough for you. He decides to rest some guys, and Twitter explodes. Here's the thing. You can't guarantee a win at any time. You certainly can't guarantee a win 12 hours after your players have torn apart a clubhouse and staggered into their hotel room. The one thing John Gibbons could guarantee yesterday was that he could rest his players, get them ready for the playoffs. John Gibbons looked at things and on balance decided to rest his players, rest his main players, and to shut down David Price for the rest of the year, apparently with David Price's blessing. Folks, I don't understand how this has got you all tied up in a knot. We're going to talk to Mike Wilner, and then we're going to get your thoughts on that. Why don't people trust John Gibbons? 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Flying solo, it's the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, maybe Barker's right. Kevin Barker says that Taylor Swift hates humans. And actually, then he amended it to say that Taylor Swift just hates men. Think maybe? Anyhow. Mike Wilner joins us first out of the gate in the Jeff Blair Show. Wilner, you a big Taylor Swift fan?
I'm going to go with no. My children like her, though, so I'm exposed to her music quite a bit. It's not bad, but I wouldn't call myself a big fan.
Yeah, it's okay, isn't it? I mean, it's... Yeah. Do you like it better than One Direction?
Yes.
See, I like One Direction better.
I'm sorry.
I like One Direction better. I have no idea why. But anyhow, good of you to join us. It's busy, isn't it?
It is kind of busy, although the last couple of games have been very, very weird.
Well, you did yeoman work yesterday during that rain delay, my friend. That was impressive.
It was fun. Nothing like 3.5 hours of a rain delay to fill. It was, and you know what? We had a full board start to finish. It was awesome.
Well, of course, and everybody wants John Gibbons fired because he's clearly mismanaging this situation.
It's hilarious, you know, and I think, honestly, people are not used to having nothing to complain about, and it's not comfortable. So, you know, and I think a lot of fans, and this doesn't just have to do with baseball in general, I think you feel like if you can see something to criticize, that makes you feel smart because everybody's, you know, just all so happy. But no, I know better. I know that this is something to be upset about. And it is an amazing thing to sit your regulars the 24 hours after you clinch a division and to have so many people be so upset about it. It boggles the mind.
Let's throw a couple of things out there. I think we agree that home field advantage is preferable. That's the word I'm going to use. It's preferable, and it's still there. It's still there for the taking.
They're still ahead of Kansas City.
Exactly. But one thing that I know you mentioned yesterday and I think needs to be repeated time and again, this isn't the same Blue Jays team we saw in the first half of the year. They're actually not a bad road team since the trade deadline, are they?
They're phenomenal road teams since the trade deadline. They're 17-6 since the Tulowitzki deal. From the Tulowitzki deal until they clinched, they're 17-6 on the road, which is just silly good. But I think what also needs to be remembered is that this whole thing about home field advantage, it only applies if Kansas City also wins in the first round. Mm-hmm. It really only applies if that American League Championship Series goes to Game 7.
Exactly.
The Blue Jays will have home field advantage in the first round, no matter what. And if they get to the World Series, they'll have home field advantage in the World Series as well. Which is why, you know, it's preferable, sure, but it's not worth killing yourself over.
No, and from my point of view, the only thing And this is just so minor. I guess home field advantage, it allows you if you want. It allows you if you want to maybe dictate how you use R.A. Dickey in that one series if it comes to that. You know, because you... But that's...
Right. I mean, you can use...
That's Dickey it, Mike.
You can use him as your number two starter so that he starts in the controlled environment right at Rogers Center. But... You know what? I mean, that's it. Otherwise, fine. If you want to use Marcus Stroman as your number two starter, is that so terrible? There are advantages. There certainly are advantages to finishing with the top spot overall in the American League. But the truth of the matter is, if Kansas City goes out in the first round, or if the American League Championship Series is done before Game 7, you're not losing a home game anyway. And, you know, when you have a Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, Goins, Pilar, all these guys who play every day and who have, you know, been going at it really, really hard pretty much from day one, Goins from since Devin Travis went down the second time, but everybody else, I mean, Pilar had played every game but one. Donaldson had played every game but two. Bautista and Edwin are everyday guys. You want to give them a breather when you can, and it's way more important to have them at full strength or as close to full strength as possible for the playoffs than to play them in the second game of a doubleheader after they just clinched the division, or to go out the next day 12 hours after you were celebrating winning the division in horrible conditions and play them then.
In conversation,
not like they're all going to be off all weekend in Tampa. They're playing tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, too, that I'm surprised more people didn't touch on, I don't want Kevin Pillar slip-sliding away in center field on that surface. The weather just sealed it. To me, the weather sealed it. I got to tell you, when I heard that the weather was, I mean, I didn't have a second thought about the lineup. It just made perfect sense to me. And then as I did something I really, really, really shouldn't do, and that's go on Twitter. And I may just shut down Twitter because Twitter's starting to really piss me off. But I think as one of my Twitter followers said, I'll trust John Gibbons over a bunch of fat virgins any day. And
I just did.
But you know what I mean. It drives me nuts.
Honestly, the question that you can ask yourself is, what have the Blue Jays done recently that makes us think that they know what they're doing? You know, how about winning 92 games and taking the division and making the changes necessary that they went, 42-14 over a third of a season? I think they've kind of shown that they know what they're doing, and it's okay. And in fact, it's the smart thing to do to have gone with the B team for the last couple of games. The Kansas City Royals did the same thing after they clinched the division. Look at what the New York Yankees are going to throw out there tonight after they've clinched. The Texas Rangers, maybe not so much. They've only clinched a wild card and they have the division in their sights. But they're not going to be playing anybody on Saturday and Sunday if they win tonight. So that's, you know, it's the smart thing to do. The playoffs are a sprint, but the regular season is an incredible grind. Mm. And if you have a chance to give your best players a little bit of a breather, then you take it.
David Price will not pitch until game one of the ALDS. That's 11 days. This is what David Price had to say yesterday about the decision he and John Gibbons and the coaching staff made to shut him down for the rest of the regular season.
I'm fine with it, and we have a plan, and we know what we're going to do. Probably going to throw a live BP to Tulo, you know, get him close to game action as you can without, you know, really playing any game. So we have a plan, and I like it.
That's going to be kind of fun, huh, pitching to Tulo?
No, that's not fun. But hopefully he's, you know, comfortable and he feels good in the box, and you know, we need that guy back. When he just said if we clinched yesterday, then I wasn't going to pitch today. And then, I don't know. Well, they wanted me to throw just because of personal awards, and I could care less about those. So it's that point in the season. If you can get an extra couple of days, we'll take it.
How does this differ from previous preparations for the postseason that you've had?
I feel like I've thrown in one of the last couple games, you know, in years before. You know, I threw game 162 last year in Detroit, game 163 the year before in Texas. So, I mean, it's a little different, but it's all right. It's still baseball.
Yeah, first of all, this start isn't going to decide whether or not David Price wins or loses the Cy Young Award. So, I mean, let's get that out there. I don't think it would have any impact one way or another on whether or not he wins a Cy Young Award. Secondly, this is a guy, Mike, who his postseason record, it's okay, but he's not dominant. And I got to think that if this is a little bit of a change up, that may serve him well.
Well, you've had Cy Young votes before and I haven't. So you're obviously more, you know more about the process than I do. I think it might have. I think Dallas Keuchel's next start as well might either win or lose him the Cy Young. It's so close between the two of them.
Really? I think you know what? I'll just interrupt here for a second.
Sure.
I think people have their, when it comes to an award like that, I think people have their mind made up by now. If you're going to vote for Dallas Keuchel, you're going to vote for him. If you're going to vote for David Price, you're going to vote for him. Unless, I guess Dallas Keuchel goes out and throws a no-hitter, maybe somebody takes, somebody will take a closer look at it. But people spend so much attention, and rightly so these days, Mike, looking at peripherals and some of the underlying stats instead of just, you know, the now disregarded wins, losses, ERA, and things of that nature, that, you know, I think you're, in some ways, you're almost looking at the guy's average over the season, right? And I don't think...
Sure.
I don't think that's going to damage David Price's candidacy.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I know that the Felix Hernandez getting bombed by the Blue Jays the last week of the season last year definitely cost him the Cy Young over Corey Kluber. If Dallas Keuchel gets beat up in his last start, then that might hand it to Price. But the peripherals can change as well with the last start, too, and when it's such a tight race. but we'll see. And as far as, you know, Price, the sample size isn't huge in the playoffs.
No, so, it's not. Fair. You know, that's fair.
He had a great start last year in Game 3 for the Tigers against Baltimore in a game they lost 2-1 to get swept. So, if Price is on board, then that's all I need to hear. He said in... You heard that the team wouldn't have minded getting him another start on the weekend. Maybe he doesn't want to pitch in Tampa Bay. I mean, who knows?
It's a point.
But if he's going to throw sim games, if he's going to pitch Tulowitzki to get him ready, if he's on board, really, that's the only thing that matters. As long as he's behind it, then that's fine, and he'll go out next Thursday and hopefully have a great game.
Mike, John Gibbons said yesterday that he's still leaving himself some wiggle room when it comes to the final spots in the bullpen. You know, Steven and I asked him, what do you need to see in these next three games? Who could help or hinder their cause in these next three games? How do you see that, let's say, the last two spots in that bullpen shaking down?
Well, you know, I wrote a whole column on the playoff roster, and it's going to go up probably any minute now on Sportsnet.ca. So it's lovely that you asked that question.
See, I know this stuff. I'm well in tune with you, Mike. We are simpatico.
Yeah.
Oh, indeed. Wrong company.
I think there's only one spot in the bullpen. I hope there's only one spot in the bullpen because I really hope they're only taking seven. There is no need to take eight, especially in a best of five that has two off days on it, because everyone could pitch every day except for your long guy if you need him. You could legitimately have Asuna, Cecil Sanchez, Lowe, and Hawkins pitching in every game of a best of five if you need them. And they'd be fine because it's 2 days and a day off, 2 days and a day off. So I really hope that they only go with seven relievers. And for me, that seventh spot comes down to Aaron Loop or Ryan Tepera. And Loop has not really been distinguishing himself as far as being a lefty one-out guy. I looked at it, and in the month of September, pitching to left-handers, they're hitting 250 off him, 3-for-12, but a 400 on base because he's walked a couple, or he's walked one and he's hit a couple. And, you know, yesterday he came in to get the one lefty, and he hit him, and they brought him in to face Didi Gregorius in the Yankee series to give up an RBI double. They brought him in to face Freddie Freeman, and he walked him. There was, I think, one in the Red Sox where he gave up a base hit. So he hasn't come in and dominated the lefty in that one short outing, which is kind of what they wanted to see. And I think that's what you'll see in two of these three games at Tampa. You're going to see Aaron Loop brought in to face one lefty and see what he does. Because they want him to have that spot. They want a second lefty. He's got great stuff. He just needs to harness it. They believe he can be that kind of lefty one-out guy. And I think he's going to get every chance to make it. Tepera has very good peripherals, but hasn't really distinguished himself in September. And he's given up a bunch of homers. And they like him, I think. And in the overall, he's had a good year. But he hasn't had a great September either.
Mike, how concerned are you about the Taylor Swift curse?
I have no idea what the Taylor Swift curse is.
All right, I won't ask you. Thanks for joining us.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Mike Wilner, host of the Blue Jays Talk, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And, of course, the third man in the booth getting ready for ALDS Game 1 on Thursday. So, there you go. That's our take on this. I just can't understand why people can't pick a word. Trust John Gibbons. I found the Twitter reaction bizarre. I really did. And some of the people who called in to Wilner yesterday, I just found it really weird. I think a lot of it goes back to the hockey mentality. The idea that home ice advantage really counts in the playoffs. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but crowd noise isn't going to make Crowd noise isn't going to make David Price's fastball go faster. Crowd noise isn't going to make Josh Donaldson hit the ball harder. You know what I mean? I think home field advantage in baseball is really, really overplayed. There's only one advantage in baseball, and that's the guy on the mound. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Brunt has the day off. Ben Nicholson-Smith will join me at 11 o'clock for Baseball Central. Then Kevin Barker will join us. Tom Grieve, Texas Rangers analyst, will be along. We will talk about the Texas Rangers. Could very well be the Toronto Blue Jays' first-round opponent. Tom's also a former general manager, so we'll talk to him about managing personnel at this point in the year. But I want to go to the phone lines right now and ask you why it is that so many people in this city don't trust John Gibbons. Is it the way he sounds? I don't know. I would think the guy would have a little bit of currency with this fan base. But even beyond that, if you sit down and do the old thing, take a sheet of paper, draw a line down the middle, put the pluses on one side, the minuses on the other side, and ask yourself what the pluses and minuses are to running out your regular lineup yesterday, or what the pluses or minuses were. I mean, the minuses outweigh the pluses dramatically. Stephen Pickering, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Steve?
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Steve.
First of all, I couldn't disagree more with you.
Okay.
As far as Gibby, why I don't trust him, if you look at his history, the only experience he has is going home at the end of the season to San Antonio. Now he's making decisions about resting, about not playing the regulars. In my memory, I don't know of any team that's used this approach. Sure, in some cases, pitchers, they hold back the 10, 11 days and go into the playoffs, and usually they fail with that approach. Just look at the Dodgers. You look at any team. Normally, you got to play it out. You don't worry about injuries or things like that, because that's when you get injured. I think this is...
Well, you can't get injured if you're not pitching. That's not true.
Well, what I'm saying is...
Let me just interrupt for a minute, Steve. I don't think it's got anything to do with injuries with David Price.
You
want rest. And I've got to tell you something.
Yeah.
David Price hasn't exactly been overwhelming in two of his last three starts.
Well...
He's not dominated. He's been hit hard.
If they're talking about pitching him in a simulated game for five innings, why couldn't he start the game here in Tampa Bay?
Because if you pitch
five innings and they can bring somebody in.
Because if you pitch a simulated game, you can tell them, we want you to throw a certain number of breaking pitches right now. Now we want you to throw your fastball. Okay, work on this. We want you to work in covering the bag. You're doing it indoors at Tampa. For a variety of reasons. You control the environment more. The bottom line is, if David Price is okay with it, why wouldn't we be okay with it? It's what I don't get. I mean, I hate to tell you out there, but I'll take David Price and John Gibbons' opinion over yours, over any of you. I'll take it over mine. I'll take it over Wilner's. And there is, I admit, and Steve's right, there is a certain element of risk. 11 days is a long time to go without throwing. It's an awful long time to go without throwing. But I got to caution you. I got to caution you. Always remember that the manager and training staff know more about a guy's health than we do. And they don't tell us everything. They don't tell us anything. So always keep that in mind. It's not like the decision's made in a vacuum. Tom in Waterloo. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for the last comment there. Price got me curious. He's 0-5 in the playoffs, and it struck me. So I decided to look up when he pitched. He pitched 162, 163, 159, 162, and 161. He's always pitching to get in.
Yep.
And he's probably, by the time the playoffs begin, but anyway, I think it's a great idea. Kansas City has to win three. If, you know, we got to lose one, so.
Yeah, and that's a great point. David Price, I'll tell you what, whatever David Price has done the past 3 years going into the playoffs hasn't necessarily worked.
Yeah.
I mean, and the other thing too, Tom, and we need to throw this out, he's got a much better lineup behind him this time and much better defense behind him this time.
I think we got a fresh Price, you know, fresh Stroman. Hey, I don't know. It's a spring guy in the fall, like I said, Jeff. And, you know, he may be the secret yet.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. And I think that's the way you have to approach it. This isn't hockey. It's not. You don't necessarily win by giving 110 or 120% all the time. You really don't. Mark in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Jeff, how are you today? I know you've heard that a thousand times, but I'll ask you quickly, and then I'd like to make two quick comments.
Sure.
On your request here this morning.
Yeah, the curse request.
The curse request. Actually, I'm going to make a quick comment about Gibby. I think that everybody in this town seems to look for reasons to ride this poor guy. He's never been given a successful team that anything close to the roster he has now to manage the egos that he has in that room and bring them together. It has to be something said about that. I know managing is very overrated, but mm-hmm. you still have to manage your players. You still have to bring everybody together, keep them on the same page, make sure people understand who's starting ahead of who. I think there's a lot to be said for that I think really goes unnoticed. So I think that people really, before they start throwing this guy under the bus like they've been doing since he came back to Toronto, I think they need to understand that he really hasn't been put in this position that he has until now, and he's succeeded with it. So,
well, and there is a point. Look, there's a point to saying John Gibbons. This is John Gibbons' first go-around managing a team in the playoffs. That's, as one of the previous callers said, that's 100% accurate. That is 100% right. I don't know. Is John Gibbons going to freeze in the playoffs? We've seen it happen to other managers. I don't think he is, but we're in uncharted territory here with John Gibbons.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to make another comment and observation, I really don't like when I'm a very big fan of yours, so please don't take this the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of these superstitions and all these hoaxes that come in with relations. I know it's tongue in cheek. I know you're not the first person to report it, but you know, stuff like that gets around in the newspaper. Next thing you know, they lose game one, and everybody's looking for excuses. And their egos are as fragile as anybody's out there. I know we don't think they are, but they're humans just like everybody else. And I think that the Toronto media has to be as responsible as anybody to keeping this team up. And I think that that's a big problem in this town when it comes to the Leafs, when it comes to the Jays. I think everybody is looking to create a story that's not there. There's always something we could have looked at, whether the wind was blowing a certain direction at each stadium before these teams went. I mean, we could have looked at a million things that could have suddenly become the story. It's really not a story, and it's really not a sports story. So as much as I love you and as much as I respect you, I think that this story should be ixnayed immediately. And I think whoever created the initial story should be held a little bit more accountable for creating a sports story and not something that they're looking for the next headline if the Jays were to ever get swept and saying, I told everybody there's a curse going on.
So you believe you basically are telling me you believe in the curse?
No, I don't.
You just said that.
But I do believe that
you're scared of Taylor Swift.
No,
I think shake it off, buddy.
And beat me up. I think she'd beat me up if she could. But no, I truly think that.
Go ahead. Go ahead. We were just having a little fun with you.
All right. No, I truly think that. I truly think that people look for excuses and look for reasons when they don't win. And I think that we need to keep this team riding high through the media.
Right? All right. I promise you that I will never, ever, ever blame Taylor Swift for. if the Blue Jays lose. Although, I mean, there's a track record there. I don't know. Is there any way to, I don't know, how would you break a Taylor Swift curse? I don't know. You can't, there's no records to burn or stuff like that. What would you do?
Let's ask Barker this in the noon hour.
We could ask Barker this because Barker's kind of a superstitious guy. What would you do to break the Taylor Swift curse? She's playing two concerts, Friday and Saturday. Then your beloved Blue Jays are in town. There could be Taylor Swiftiness lingering in the ballpark. I mean, I tweeted out a link to the story. It's there. It's happened, folks. Two franchises have seen their seasons torn apart after whatever the reason, after Taylor Swift sung in their ballpark. I'm just saying, it's not me making it up. It's fact. It's almost biblical fact. 416-870-0590. And believe me, I know about curses. I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. I feel cursed every freaking Sunday. And I've tried everything to break that curse. Arash Madani and I have tried watching the games in each other's houses to break the curse, and it isn't working. So I know about curses. Anyhow, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. How concerned are you about the Taylor Swift curse? What worries you more? Here's the way we'll word this. What worries you more? Gibby's managing, Gibby's decision-making, or the curse of Taylor Swift? We'll take your calls. It's the Jeff Blair Show on the home of the Blue Jays. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Play Taylor Swift all day in the station. So a Twitter reaction has ranged from the from accusing me of harboring some sort of deep, dark, rural Manitoba toxic, wandering through the forest sort of intentions to, to people suggesting the only way to break the curse is to have Taylor Swift sing to Gibby while he manages in the dugout, or to have each Jay's player take a Taylor Swift song as their walk-up song when they come to the plate. I wonder if Taylor Swift will bring Drake up on stage tonight. That would be like the ultimate. Because, see, there's a curse of Drake, too, right? There's a curse of Drake. College basketball. Isn't there a college basketball curse of Drake? There's something like that happen. Travis has looked at me confused. Travis is my go-to guy on all things hip-hop.
Yeah, I think he might have cursed Kentucky.
Yeah, okay. Well, Kentucky's cursed anyhow. So anyhow, there's that possibility, because she does bring up usually a local singer on stage with her. Maybe Drake joins her, in which case there'd be karmic bending possibilities are tremendous. So what scares you more? The curse of Taylor Swift or John Gibbons' decision-making? And I'm hoping a lot of you out there realize that much of what I say is tongue-in-cheek in this show. Brett in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What is up, my friend?
Well, first of all, I'm not afraid to say I think Taylor Swift's hot, and I don't care if she sings before the game or not.
There you go. I'm not arguing with you.
All right. Second of all, the reason I called is about 15, 20 minutes ago, you had a caller that was upset the fact that Gibby decided that Price... He thinks that Price should have pitched tonight and not pitched the simulated game. I'm 100% with Gibby on this one. First off, I think these next three games in Tampa, we've got to play to win all three because we want home field throughout, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to put a pitch count or a set amount of innings on Price, then you're not really committing to winning, you're committing to that pitcher actually wanting a simulated game. So
absolutely right.
So at the end of the day, simulate the game for Price, put the pitcher in tonight and play to win, everybody's a winner, and my blood was boiling a little bit on that caller about 15, 20 minutes ago, and so I wanted to call.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, and I agree with you completely. And look, there's two sides to every argument. Newsflash. And there are concerns about teams having prolonged breaks when they go into the playoffs. I mean, I guarantee you Jim Leland will tell you that prolonged breaks are absolutely the worst thing. There are managers who would just as soon get in as a wild card team. There's a reason wild card teams have a tremendous history of success in the postseason, and the reason why wild card teams go on to win the World Series. Because it's almost as if the season just continues, right? I mean, one of the things you'll hear from the Blue Jays in the lead up to the postseason and the lead up to the ALDS is, well, we're going to try to just approach it as if it's another game. We're just going to take it one day at a time, yada, yada. Well, it's a lot easier to do that if you're a wild card team and you're playing the next day and then you're traveling that day afterwards. Then you got a workout. Then you got a game. That's a lot different than sitting at home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for a game on Thursday. So there is an element to it. I don't mean to dismiss it completely. Dougie G82 asks, what if Gibby's decisions are actually a product of the Swift curse already? I don't think the curse kicks in until she belts out the first note. I could be wrong. See, now you're going to have a whole bunch of people worried. Victor and Milton, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Victor?
Not much, man. As far as curse is concerned, I mean, I had a curse for a number of years. I just happened to divorce her, and that was the end of that.
You hear all week?
No. I want to continue that thought.
Okay. It's that's fine. Go ahead.
It's about divorcing that thought. Now, we fancy ourselves as a big market team, but we have a small market mindset and psyche. Like, and I'll give you an example. Like, a big market team does not ask the question, who do we not want to face in the playoffs? The Yankees never did that. It's like what Mark Burley said. Whose ass are we going to kick next? At the end of the day, if we lose, it's not because we were not the best team. It's going to be because of injury or a bad break or they threw our flags upside down. As far as I'm concerned, this is a fantastic team, and there's nothing to fear. So you got to divorce any thoughts in your mind that some curse is going to happen, you know. And as an aside, I agree with, everybody who's saying they're looking a bit dapper. Your doppelganger would be channeled on Friends. You guys are so...
Doppelganger.
Yeah, you guys look the same.
Yeah, I've actually heard that. Matthew Perry and I look the same.
You know, and another comedic one is Mike Wilner and the Family Guy.
Okay, thanks.
Anyway, man, have a great weekend.
All right.
And we'll see you next week. Take care.
All right, thanks, Victor. Wilner and the Family Guy, actually, that's pretty accurate. I'm sorry, Mike, but it is. Yeah, I get Matthew Perry every now and then. It could be worse. I could get Katy Perry. John in Pottageville, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
How are you? Do you ever have a curse? Have you had a curse that you've had to break somehow?
Been married.
Oh, God, this is such a male show. Go ahead.
Well, you asked the question.
I know. That's fine. I consider a marriage as a curse. You can't.
Well, okay. I'm only kidding.
Okay, that's good.
32 years, so it's not that bad.
Okay. Go ahead.
Price.
Yes.
I have a little bit of concern.
Okay.
You mentioned it earlier, two of his last three games haven't been as great. It's not the Price that we normally see. Pitched a lot of pitches early in the innings. Now, you know, maybe the guy's just got a bit of a sore arm. Maybe he's just in a bit of a slump. And I think that whatever the reason is, that's why he's not pitching until the series starts.
Well, you know, I am going to throw this out. I don't know about that, but I always feel that I need to caution people when we discuss these things and just remind people that John Gibbons and the training staff know more about the health of their players than we do. That doesn't mean there's anything catastrophic, but it's possible somebody's sore. It really is. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Alex and Barry, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Thought I'd break up the boy party that you're having this morning.
Thank you.
No problem. My pleasure. Well, in response to your earlier question about who do I trust more or who am I afraid of more, Gibby or Taylor Swift, It's more who am I afraid of less, because I trust Gibby and I'm not really worried about the Taylor Swift curse at all.
There you go.
Secondly, I was thinking myself this morning just listening to Dean Blundell when they were going back and forth about whether or not we should have played the bench yesterday and the second game of the doubleheader. And my opinions ended up lining up quite similarly with Mike Wilner's in that, you know what, he weighed the pros and cons and the decision was let's rest some guys. And my question was, would we be feeling differently if they'd won the second game of the doubleheader? I mean, yesterday they rallied, they came back, they made it close. It ended up being 6-4. They were down 4-0, 4-1 for a while. So if they had come back in one of those two games, we probably wouldn't be having this argument. And I think really it does come down to celebrations over. They didn't have a great game, so there's nothing positive to talk about. They didn't play any of their regulars, so we're not even really commenting on any of their performances. So we're nitpicking, and we just need to get over it.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the sentiment. And you can't guarantee that you're going to win a game. Yeah, but if you're John Gibbons, I mean, that's not in your power. You can put a lineup out there, but it's not in your power to ultimately determine whether or not you win the game. But the one thing you can determine, the one thing that is in your power, is how rested your players are. And John Gibbons, a former player, has decided to err on the side of resting his players. And I have absolutely no problem with that. And I think in this case, you have to trust John Gibbons. You have to trust Pete Walker. You have to trust Alex Anthopoulos. I can tell you the way that decision-making works in that organization. This isn't just John Gibbons. This is the coaching staff. This is Alex. This is the medical staff. This is the players. You know, Gibby just didn't wake up Thursday morning and go, I'm going to shut down David Price. It's a product of a lot of thought. And I can guarantee you that a lot of this thought happened, or a lot of this thought took place leading up to that series in Baltimore. It's not just something that didn't come about as a result of a 5-minute meeting. I think we know enough about this front office. We know enough about this manager and this coaching staff to just assume that it doesn't work that way. We will have much more baseball talk ahead. Ben Nicholson-Smith will join me in the 11 o'clock hour for Baseball Central. Kevin Barker will be along at noon. Baseball Central continues. But when we come back, we're going to shift focus. Scott Morrison, Hockey Central analyst, will join us. The NHL season starts on October 7th. It's getting very, very close. Jonathan Gatehouse, senior correspondent for McLean's. You know by now that Marcel Aubut, president and CEO of the Canadian Olympic Committee, has stepped aside as a result of sexual harassment allegations. We'll talk to Jonathan Gatehouse about that, and we'll ask him whether that may have any impact on future Olympics for Canada. And then Raphael Honigstein, author of Das Reboot, How German Soccer Reinvented Itself and Conquered the World. He'll join us. It's not just a soccer book, folks. It's a book about how a country decided to take a systemic approach to overhauling its national sport. Sounds an awful lot like what we did in hockey. We'll be back with more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.